But I've always loved women's health. I've always loved working with women. And I've seen through all these babies that I've had that there is just a lovely, wonderful approach to preventative health and helping women to thrive in their pregnancy and their postpartum stage. So many things that we can do to, you know, help babies be in optimal positions, help moms not to have pain in their pregnancies, help moms prepare for a better fourth trimester, and then how to recover after and even beyond, even, you know, many years after babies, things that you can do to help recover. I'd love to capture women in pregnancy and help them so that they have, you know, better outcomes altogether. But I don't think people know that they can go to a women's health physical therapist after baby and just, you know, be checked out, make sure they're okay, get the help they need. They don't have to live in pain. We have a little bit of a joke that it's in a major abdominal surgery and it's the only surgery that they send you home with this little bowling ball to take care of. And in the hospital, a lot of precautions are you can't lift over a gallon of milk or a gallon of water, which is 8 pounds. But we're going to send you home with this little one. And
welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. Today we have our host and CEO of Mother Honestly, Blessing Adesian, our COO of Mother Honestly, Nicole. Our special guest, Dr. Rachel, is with us today talking postpartum health and pregnancy. And I am your podcast manager, Kristen Baffo. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be able to have been asked to be on this podcast today, so
we're happy to have you. And we got you in and we squeezed you in last minute so you can come in before you have baby number five.
I know, baby number five is due tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know how you're still standing, because I think this time while I was pregnant I was like, do not call this phone and definitely do not get me out of my house.
That was me yesterday.
And I think it depends, like my first child I was like, it could happen any moment, I shouldn't go anywhere. But by like the next one or the next, and in her case this is baby number five, so like I think she knows it and she's owns it. She's like, it's not coming today or tomorrow. Like she knows,
like I know my body by now. You know, round five, I can do this.
She's going to have that baby and be home for dinner. She's like, I got it. Mac and cheese, chicken fingers.
You know, just not in studio.
Yes, not today.
I haven't even told you guys yet that I have had contractions like on and off like for several weeks, but that's how all my babies are. So they just tease me.
I did that with my first. I had like contractions for like 2 weeks straight, and then I still had to get induced. So,
Don't you hate that? Yeah, that induction business is just, I don't like
it. It's all I know right now. So. I don't
like it. Yeah. And it makes it so painful. I was induced with my second baby. And those contractions are brutal.
They are. I did it with my second. Yeah. My second, I was 16 years old, so this was forever ago. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I was 22
Everything
hours in,
forever,
and I just
Nicole.
Kept turning up the Pitocin knob until all of a sudden I like really shot out of the bed. I was like, oh my God. And my, bless my husband, he's watching the little like Hewlett Packard machine that like shows you the contractions. He's like, I think you're having a contraction. I'm thinking, no. Shit,
well, at least your
I'm
husband.
Well aware that I'm having a contraction. It was so cute though. Like he
know,
thought he was telling me
love
something
to
I didn't
tell
know.
You that, yeah. Right?
At least your husband was doing that. Mine was watching Charlie Brown Christmas.
Whoa.
He was a patient man. He spent 22 hours reading Harry Potter. Thank God those books are huge to me. And then I'd be like, please read to me. No, stop reading to me.
Why did you do this to me?
You guys are too cute.
We are never having babies again.
Right, yes, he wanted
that happens all the time.
And I informed him it was not his uterus and we were done.
So, Dr. Rachel, tell me about your background. You know, what did you go to school for and how did you become a doctor? I mean, I'm always like, oh my God, I know a doctor.
Oh, you're so sweet. I actually went to Oakland University, and I got my doctorate degree. It's going to be 13 years in December, and it was a really fun and challenging experience. I actually had my first right before going through my doctorate degree, so that was very interesting, but it was great to just have the support of my family to just work through that very challenging time. So since then, I have worked at some major hospitals in the area. I've worked at Royal Oak Beaumont. I've worked at Crittenton Hospital, and have really enjoyed it. And then moved on, actually, and worked with kids in the school system. So that was interesting.
I did not know that.
Well. Yeah, and it's a little bit of a fun off to the side thing I did. But I've always loved women's health. I've always loved working with women. And I've seen through all these babies that I've had that there is just a lovely, wonderful approach to preventative health and helping women to thrive in their pregnancy and their postpartum stage. And I think my babies have taught me that. I've gone through lots of struggles with health of my second baby. And it made me really take a more holistic approach to my health and to my family's health. And in that journey, I have seen how just how if we do that, we are more successful in our pregnancies, our postpartums, and how we recover. So it inspired me to pursue this. And then for my third baby, I actually had a home birth with a midwife. And I just saw how cool it was to have somebody come to my home and take care of me and spend a couple hours with me for every prenatal visit. And then when I actually had the baby, there was a lot of hands-on approaches to helping you get through the horrors of labor. And it was similar to what I did as a physical therapist. And I'm like, this is so cool that you can just, you know, put your hands on your hips or push lightly on the sacrum, and that will really help alleviate some pain. Even just a gentle squeeze of the heel bone can take away a lot of pain in labor and delivery. So that inspired me to pursue this more so that I could learn and help women how to have babies, hopefully naturally. I mean, we have options, which is fantastic. But to also just pursue that. And then the more I got into it, the more I'm like, oh my goodness, there are so many things that we can do to, you know, help babies be in optimal positions, help moms not to have pain in their pregnancies, help moms prepare for a better fourth trimester, and then how to recover after and even beyond, even, you know, many years after babies, things that you can do to help recover.
I love that. So you went to school. You went to Oakland University. Mm-hmm. You got a degree in physical therapy, and now you found this new opportunity to really meet moms mm-hmm. at this, you know, wonderful stage of their life. And so my question is, how did you transition?
Yeah. So do you mean like transition from like the orthopedic world?
Exactly.
I think that there's still the orthopedic world in there. So this approach, these years, this journey that I have been on has developed me into the physical therapist I am. So not only is it just like women's health, pelvic health,
correct.
It's also orthopedic. So I can integrate all of those neuro skills, orthopedic skills, you know, the different things that OU taught me and the correct. Continuing ed that I had have taught me. And then I can apply that to this further education specifically to women and their health.
I love that.
So I also did feel like there's a missing piece. And that missing piece is stress management, sleep hygiene, lifestyle management, and nutrition. And all of these types of things are so helpful to a mom in her healing or just in her journey to also approaching any type of pain that she might be having. Or can we just prevent it? Like, let's not get there.
Correct. And so you mm-hmm. help women during that pregnancy period and then beyond that, mm-hmm. really helping them ease into motherhood and say, mm-hmm. you know, how can we help? How can we help her manage our stress? Because I know stress is one big thing mm-hmm. after baby shows up, right? Like, mm-hmm. I literally was floundering. I was like, okay, what am I doing?
somebody still needs to eat. We still need to clean. We still need to, you know, go to doctor's visit. So how do you, so basically you support this woman before and after pregnancy. Yeah. I love that.
So I just think part of it is my experience as a mother as well, too. And I don't have it figured out. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm on baby. I'm on baby number 5, and they're all completely different. My oldest is 16, and my youngest is going to be 18 months. Okay. And it's a challenge. It really is. And so I think having the support of a women's health physical therapist, a women's health coach, or just having a very good support team to help you manage the day-to-day things that you're going to go through as a mother is going to be key to your healing.
Yes. And I think that's great too, because like as somebody who's currently pregnant, I really struggle with pregnancy, and I never really thought to seek help for like the stress management and the sleep, nutrition, and these things that you speak of. You know, because those are all things, like as you said it, I'm like ding, ding, ding. I can check off every single one of those I'm currently struggling with. So it's nice to know that there is that help out there for women, because I mean, until this moment, I think it was more like I go to my doctor, he offers some medication, and it, you know, I usually turn it down, and it's like, okay, well, you just keep suffering over there.
Yeah, and I think that you make a good point, because the doctors can't do everything. And so we are here to help support you and to help support the physician so that they can then say, oh, you're having a struggle with maybe sleep. Here is a women's health coach or a women's health physical therapist that has been trained in these areas. What are some things that maybe she can help you work through to help solve those issues, or just at least help figure out how to get a little bit more sleep into your life?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And speaking of sleep, what are some of the things you would generally recommend that someone might do to make themselves more comfortable? I know, especially towards the end of pregnancy, like all you want is sleep, because you know you need to get ready for this baby. And it is about the worst period of time to try to get sleep. You're uncomfortable. Well, you feel like a whale. The hormones are pumping. Everything's going. What are those things you can recommend to someone who's kind of towards the end of pregnancy that can find some comfort and sleep?
And I can attest to this, because the other day I was up. I'm like, I'm going to do some stuff at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I feel like your body does prepare for that baby that's going to be, you know, waking up and wanting to nurse or, you know, bottle feed. So some of the things that can be very helpful is turning off our electronic devices at like 8 o'clock, getting off of the TV. That's my time with my husband, and we enjoy watching Netflix at that time. So this is kind of silly, but you can buy these orange glasses that you can wear. They're like blue light filtering, and they look ridiculous. So that's a definite way to help with your sleep. Our adrenals like to be happy and quiet around 11 o'clock at night. So you're going to see a change in your cortisol shift at around that time. So making it a habit to try and be in bed by at least 10 so that you're sleeping by 11 can also help promote like better sleep hygiene. And then even just what we're eating too. So maybe if you, I'm one of those people, especially when I was first pregnant with this baby, I was having a hard time falling asleep and waking up early. And I think I was hungry, but I was so nauseous I didn't want to eat anything.
Having all of that right now. I don't sleep, but I am exhausted.
Yes. So I worked with my accountability partner who is a coach as well. And we just decided that I needed more to eat like before bed. I was kind of doing this like, okay, I need to stop eating before a certain time because I want everything to just kind of be calm and not be worried about, you know, my body worrying about digesting food. So I just started having a sweet potato and putting some healthy fats in it, like either coconut oil or avocado oil. Just around like 7 o'clock-ish, and that did help sustain me through the night so that I wasn't having like this change in blood sugar in the middle of the night and waking up.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's something like that's going on with me right now, because I can't fall asleep, but then and then when I do, I still wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm already an early bird, like, so my biological body just wakes me up super early anyways. So I'm just like in this like cycle where I'll try to nap in the middle of the day. I literally can't even do that. It's it's vicious. And, and it messes with your mind, too. Like, I'm forgetting things that are so...
So
like,
simple and basic.
So simple and basic. And correct. I'm like, I completely forgot that. Or just like, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I also do work a little bit here and there. And that's a struggle for me right now. Like, just the mentality of, like, trying to do tasks is difficult. Because I'm not sleeping. I'm sick all the time, and it's starting. And I don't think anybody talks about that. You know, I think everybody's like, "Oh, pregnancy is beautiful," and trust me, it is. But it is so hard.
It's
and
tough.
There's and I feel like with my first daughter, I didn't have like the mental part of it. But this baby, I really am starting to feel it, like on my own mental health. Like I am just struggling the whole way. And I'm struggling to try to even just find the beauty in this pregnancy right now because it's been so much harder than my first. Or at least it feels like it was.
So this is where I'm like, maybe it's a boy. So I wanted to kind of shift the conversation a little bit because obviously you're a mother of five and you went to Auckland University, you started with a baby, you've just been able to accomplish a lot and obviously you've been successful in that. So how have you been able to align your goals? That's a question we ask a lot because it seems like it's so hard these days. Just listening to Christian, I'm like, what is going on? It's so hard today to kind of, you know, try to combine everything. You're going through pregnancy or you have a toddler, you have a high school student. I mean, how do you make sure that you're still successful at home and in your business and in everything that you do?
Sure. So I have this question a lot from people and I always want to say I don't. Like, that's my answer. But I think it ultimately comes down to what I mentioned before is having this like support. So as a health coach, we actually have a form we pass out called Your Web of Support. Mm. And, you know, knowing... Some people don't need to actually sit down with a piece of paper and write, oh, who are all the people that I can reach out to help me? And I'm fortunate. I have an amazing husband who is very supportive. His job allows some flexibility that when I am working with women, I can, you know that he's at home with the kids. And I think there's a piece there because, you know, it's not that I don't trust other people, but it's nice to know that your husband is home with your children. When he's unable to, I have my parents to help me out. They are fantastic. There is a benefit to having a 16-year-old.
There's a benefit to having a 9-year-old,
yeah,
too.
There's a 10-year age difference between me and my brother, and my mom always says that was the easiest pregnancy and child to raise.
Seriously, because my daughter right now, I mean, she,
oh, yeah, exactly,
you know,
same thing.
I'm like, go check on your brother, you know, go... Mm-hmm. Go pick up, you know, I'm trying to pump. She's the one that assembles the pumping parts, make sure it's plugged
so nice.
In.
Uh-huh.
Make sure, yeah. So, I mean, she does a lot of work already. Yeah. So that's
I feel like
awesome.
Having a newborn wasn't a huge shock to me because I was 10 years old when my brother was born.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you found solutions to correct. Helping you. And I think that's key. Now, for moms that don't have that, it is a matter of sitting down and thinking, who can you? Like, I think it's very neat. There's homeschoolers too, and they don't always necessarily need to, you know, be home doing their homeschool. They might be able to come in and sit with your kid for a couple hours, or there's just different resources that we can find nannies on, or you know, moms that maybe are staying home who aren't working that would be willing to watch your kids. So what are your resources and looking in your area to, you know, find the help and support that you need so that you can pursue being a businesswoman and
correct.
Doing what your passions are. Of course, your passion is your family as well, and I do feel like they come first. Another tip that I often give moms is like, what worked before? Like, what has worked before in your past? Even if you haven't had a child, can you look at that and say, oh, you know, for exercise, for example, I'm like, oh, if I wake up a little bit earlier, even if it's 15 minutes, then I can maybe do a little yoga routine. And if I do that, then the rest of my day is better and I'm not living in pain with this baby in my belly. Those are some awesome things that have just really helped me. And again, I just go back to like coaching. If you need help or you're struggling and need, you know, somebody to just kind of listen to you and hear your story. Like I'm listening to your story about how you're like doing all these things and you know, I want to say to you, okay, I want to know like more of what's going on, but I also want to say,
we can have a coaching session. Like,
I know, right? Let's do it. I also want to say, are there specific times that could you devote, like, you know, a Monday morning at this time for your social media or your business, whatever your, you know, goals are, and then you're done. After that time, you're done, and then this is your time with your family. And that's kind of how I approach it when I start to get like, ooh, I'm so crazy. I'm like, okay, Monday and Wednesdays will be my social media days, or Monday will be social media, Wednesday will be days that I see clients. And then
social media is a full-time job now, by the way, guys. I mean, I feel like we need a full, like, episode on social media. I had to take a step back. I'm like, you know what? Mother honestly is going to be fine. We're just going to do a couple of stories a day, and that's it.
Yeah. And there's that societal pressure of, like, you need to post every single day. Or there's the Facebook algorithms. Like, we're not going to show your stuff to people unless you're doing this. And I think that that's super stressful. And I think, you know, really sitting quiet with yourself and figuring out what can help me still be a businesswoman but not be concerned. I think people are still going to come to you. I think you're still going to attract, you know,
you just have to find balance. In my group of friends, we like to call that win. What's important now? Like, what's the thing that does the bed need to get made?
Correct.
Do I really need to be at my kid's school for this thing, or is it more important to
sign
me?
Off on student council?
Right.
Yeah. That was not necessary.
I was actually saying to Robin before you guys got here. So my kids are 16 and 22. My son graduated from college. He's got his first corporate job. He's living at home to save money for a condo or our house, and so he's living at home. And I did not get home until after midnight last night for meetings.
Because we were packing boxes.
We were packing boxes for our members, and so I got up at 6 a.m. and my husband's like, "Why are you don't need to be up. You don't need to make them breakfast." It's true. They're 16 and 22. They can totally feed themselves. And like, it was in my head, like, I've got to get up to feed them breakfast.
It's part of your routine.
Yes. And part of my routine, it's part of me showing my that that's how them. I am. Right. It's how I show I love them. And truthfully, the 22-year-old is in 5 or 6 months is going to be gone. And I mean gone. Because he's going to move into his own place. And so I'm like, just let me have this moment of insanity that I don't need to be up making this. But we tell ourselves, like, my but that for me, like, that was important now versus the extra 30 minutes of sleep.
Correct.
Now, later on, did I walk past all the beds I'd made? Yes, I did. Like,
you have to pick and choose.
You have to pick and choose. Yes. All of us do. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important, is acknowledging in kind of all of the chaos around us is just sometimes we need blinders.
And you should know, making the beds is very important to Nicole.
Making the beds is huge.
Beds call out to Nicole.
They do. I will get home I will buckle and I will go and make them, because if I try to sit on the sofa and relax or try to send email, I can hear them taunting me from upstairs.
I think we need a session.
We need a therapy session for Nicole and all of our beds.
I know what
I'm going to do is send somebody to your house to help you make all your beds. That way you can actually sit down and read a book.
My housekeeper's actually there today.
Oh, yay.
I'm like, don't worry, I'll make the beds. Like, do something else. Don't make the beds.
You have your own way.
I clearly need bed making therapy. Yes. I'm like that with towels. Like, I have a certain way I fold towels, and I don't want anybody to fold them. I'm like, don't even help me, because I'm just going to refold them all.
It is so funny what we go through as moms. Just the, like, different little things we've had. And I think one thing that I have realized with having more kids too is to just live in the chaos. But I have my moments too. Especially since I'm nesting right now. I'm like, the house has to be clean.
Well, and I feel like that I'm, for some reason already, I'm like already going through this nesting period myself. And my husband and I, we moved into a new house last year. And I mean, we've been renovating it ever since. So I feel like I live in chaos. And I thought it would be all done before my last daughter arrived. And she came, and the dining room is still a mess. So, I think it's just, you know,
are you
I've sure embraced
we're married
it.
To the same man?
I know, right?
He's up till 2 a.m. every single night, and I'm hearing, damn, like, oh my God, can you stop? And now he's constructing this backdrop for Mother Honestly, and that's his excuse. It's like, oh, I was working on the Mother Honestly board. I'm like,
love
thank
it.
You.
He's working hard for you.
I need to sleep at this time.
I will say the nesting is the best part of pregnancy, though. You get so much done. My freezer was done. All the closets were reorganized.
Well, I'm trying to get things. I'm more thinking about it all.
You're like, I have to get
you
this done.
You guys need
now.
To know that Nicole is organized. So when she, that's how you nest. You need to come to my house when I'm nesting. It's like, let it burn.
She needs to come to my house, and I'll just like send her around. I'll be like, this needs to get done. This needs to get done.
That's funny. It's interesting.
I do love a brother pee touch. You need labels on things.
Correct.
It's interesting we talked about nesting. I'm actually working on just a free ebook to hopefully will go up on my website soon.
Nice.
Women can sign their emails up, and it's on nesting, but it's on nesting for mom. So it's a different like little twist, because I feel like we need to have our own little nest, like our own little, like, you know, I do herbal baths, for example, after baby. And it's really nice. It's like lavender, comfrey, calendula. And you boil it on your stovetop and the house smells amazing. And then you take this nice bath with it after baby. And it really helps with healing the perineum after having baby. So just little tips like
that. Are you sure you don't want to come to my house to demonstrate?
Again, we could do like a live, like let's make our little like infusion package together.
Yeah,
it would be so fun.
Dr. Rachel, what is this website and where can we find it?
Yeah, definitely. So my website is my name, but I'll spell it because my name is spelled a little bit differently. It's DrRachaelEl. ELIZABETH.com. So DrRachaelElizabeth.com.
So your Rachel is spelled with
an A.
A-E-L.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely be checking it out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like my mission and my goal is that women have the support that they need after baby. And I know it's not always easy to get to, you know, a physical therapist. And I do offer in-home around the Rochester area. I may be expounding a little bit depending on how life goes after baby, but that was kind of where that, like, I love that home birth approach,
right,
where, you know, the midwife would come in and I'm like, why can't the doctor come to the home? You know, the doctors used to do home calls. So I love that as an offering for moms, but I have found that a lot of moms like to come in clinic, so I do have that as an option. Right now I'm in Utica off of like Hall Road between Van Dyke and M53.
Okay. I'm in Macomb County.
All right, come visit me. It's a fun little space. It's called the Root Empowerment Center, and there's actually a home birth midwife in there, a hypnobirthing therapist.
It. Yeah,
yes,
okay.
And a massage therapist, and then we also have a doula that works out of there as well, and she does like some doula trainings, and
that's
it's just
awesome.
A fun little collective of people to just support.
Yeah, you'll definitely
women.
Be seeing me. I mean, that's right in my hood.
Yeah.
So it looks like to me that you were working in a corporate job and then you kind of started your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've redefined success for yourself. And how is it working out?
Yeah, it's working well. I mean, I really love it. I mean, there's time. The social media thing is like what we talked about. You could do a whole podcast on that. That is a little bit of a challenge. I have worked with an IT guy and I have a business coach now to just kind of help me like steer the waters a little bit better without taking away too much of my time and my sanity. But otherwise, I love it. I think it is so important for moms. Even, I mean, I love it in pregnancy. I would love to capture women in pregnancy and help them so that they have, you know, better outcomes altogether. But I don't think people know that they can go to a women's health physical therapist after baby and just, you know, be checked out, make sure they're okay, get the help they need. They don't have to live in pain. A lot of women will have tears and stitches, or even after a cesarean. That is, we have a little bit of a joke that it's in a major abdominal surgery, and it's the only surgery that they send you home with this little bowling ball to take care of. And in the hospital, a lot of precautions are you can't lift over a gallon of milk or a gallon of water, which is 8 pounds. But we're going to send you home with this little one. And
could
you're not going
to,
you might not sleep. I know my third was a 10.5 pounder.
Oh, goodness.
So like it is like, you know, you really need the support you need. And so I hope to be a support to moms to just help them navigate through that time. I don't want women to live in pain. I don't want them to worry about, can I do a plank or can I do crunches or, you know, can I go back to running or can I? What can I do? What can I do? There's so much like misinformation.
Unknowns, yeah.
And unknowns out there.
Like they just send you home with a baby and they're like, come back in 6 weeks. And you're like, wait a minute, what's going to happen between now and 6 weeks?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I know that I had to rush to the hospital, I think a week after my son was born, which was a giant pain because I had to go straight to the ER. Thank God it was nothing. But again, it's just one of those things where you just don't know what
you don't
know for that
next
6 weeks.
Well, it's such a major thing. I think that's the thing that people don't really focus it. I mean, you just had a baby. Like, what your body just went through, whether it's cesarean or vaginal birth, I mean, it's still... It's intense. A major shock to your body. Yes.
Correct.
And women's health physical therapists, like, all over the country, we're trying to really show that. We need to take care of mom. I know the baby's wonderful and stuff, and everybody takes care of baby, and we have to take care of baby.
We also have to take care of mama, too,
so that mama can better take care of her baby.
And I think we only look at it from kind of a gynecological thing, and it affects your entire body. Now, all of these hormones have to, like, rush out of your body. Your blood levels have changed. You had more blood pumping through your system. Your bones and muscles and joints have all moved. I know I had issues with my gallbladder postpartum because it had affected my gallbladder. Mm-hmm. It affects all the fascia of your muscle. Like, it affects the entire body. Yeah. And if we go to our doctor, they're really all about just healing the gynecological issues when there's so much more around that. I had, like, shoulder issues because of all the hormones that are in your body that loosen your muscles. Mm-hmm. I had some muscle damage done to my shoulders because I had loosened the ligaments in them. They're my shoulders.
Talks about that?
I would have told you that had nothing to do with my pregnancy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's kind of, you know, it's an overall thing. Yeah. And to have someone kind of postpartum speak to all of it, right?
Yeah,
and
somebody really that
kind of getting
approach.
You to, you know, quote unquote, snap back because you're just focused on that one part, and it's like, but everything else still hurts and is and really needs to heal. Yeah.
Well, and I think there's after effects to epidurals that people don't really discuss. I know I had an epidural. It didn't work, so I didn't get the benefits of the epidural, but I definitely had the fallout afterwards. I had major back pain on one side of my back for probably 6 months, and it was, you know, I kept going to get checked out about it, and what it came down to was this epidural that didn't even work for me.
Oh, honey.
So.
And that's why I think it's so important that the moms and mother honestly know that we're here to help them, you know, whether it's like a health coaching approach, which I can do virtually with moms. And I can do, if a mom is too far away from me in Michigan, I can do physical therapy via telehealth. Or they can come and see me and get, you know, manual therapy, learn how to breathe. And I'm always very big about how do we incorporate our core unit? I call it core defined because it's our diaphragm, it's our core, it's our back muscles, it's our pelvic floor. They're all just this unit. And we have to learn how to work, like, rewire, like, how do we breathe? Because our diaphragm got pushed up into our, you know, our rib cage. And so, like, manually, like, just helping that kind of get back to where it needs to be. And then, you know, just being healthy overall so that we don't have long-term consequences. Like, we're seeing this huge trend of leakage, and it's like, oh, it's normal. It's not normal to leak. Mm-hmm. It's not normal to have pain. It's not normal to have pain with sex. Like, if you're having these things, there's help out there for you. So,
awesome. So where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so they can find me on my website, but I think social media is a lot more fun. I put there's a lot of videos. I've been trying to put more videos on there.
I've seen your videos. You've been doing a very great
job. Thank you. I'm trying to get them in because I'm pregnant, so I want to, like, show them, you know, I'm pregnant. I'm doing them too. But they're also, you know, postpartum women. Women in perimenopause or menopause, they can do them too. My handle.
hashtag
Yeah, exactly. Is at Dr. Rachel Elizabeth. Okay. And I'm on Instagram and on Facebook.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today. We had so much fun.
And continue to be well. Fun. Don't have that baby today.
Yes. We need you at the summit.
No, I want to come to the summit. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Over the summit. Anytime, like, after Saturday at 5:30, you are good.
I'll be fine. All that walking and moving around and yoga and healthy eats. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you'll be hearing from me soon, too.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
We'll be looking forward to hearing more about that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you for having me. I feel very honored to have been on this podcast with you guys.
It was a pleasure having you today.
Thanks for coming. Thank you, Mama, for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your show manager, Kristen Baffo, asking that you please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And for more resources, visit us at motherhonestly.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.